the man over to the Alliance. If Shivani had orchestrated the attempt on Silver's life, his own life was forfeit. Theirs didn't take prisoners.
I can't make that decision, Lily replied. I need to talk to the leadership.
She returned his call 5 minutes later.
They want a human observer with you. Your mate has one working for her in the main MNET office, a man named Eric Janssen.
Done.
Valentian knew he could drive away right now and Silver would never know about the upcoming confrontation. Of course, that kind of secret was how stupid bears lost their women. Valentian was not a stupid bear. He walked to her apartment. Knocked. Chapter 46. It Girl 42.
I heard Silver Merchant is already separated from her bear mate. I knew it wouldn't last.
Lover Boo.
Did you drink a cup of idiot soup this morning? Mates are forever, and bears aren't exactly known for walking away from those they love.
BB.
I once got mad and walked away from my bear boyfriend. We've been happily mated for 20 years. I never bet against a bear out to woo his woman. Smile.
Forum of Wild Woman Magazine. Silver opened her door seconds after Valentian's knock, already dressed in a gray pantsuit with a white shirt and sky-high heels. Her hair was also up in that fancy twist that made his hands itch to mess it up.
Valentian.
Her eyes scanned his face.
Is something wrong?
He wanted to yell at her. She had lines of exhaustion on her face, shadows under her eyes.
You have a half hour.
It came out a rumbling growl. His bear was so mad at her.
It's important.
She glanced at the complicated timepiece on her wrist, the face a large square that displayed all kinds of data.
My deputy is meant to log off at 9. I'll ask him to take an extra 30 minutes.
That she'd cleared her schedule without asking him why he needed her time, it crashed right through him, slayed him. Angry though it was, his bear rubbed against the inside of his skin, wanting her fingers running through its fur, her weight on its body as the bear took her for another ride.
Eat first,
he ordered.
I'll grab a bar.
She did exactly that and was in the car with him 2 minutes later.
We also need Eric Janssen from your office.
Again, she made the call without questioning why.
You should be resting.
The words burst out, a loud thunder of sound.
This is not how you recover from neurosurgery.
She chewed a bite of her bar, swallowed.
I'll take that under advisement.
A calm statement that made it clear she'd do nothing of the sort.
Grrr.
Valentian made his claws slide back in.
You are an infuriating woman, Starlichka.
When he stopped at the Psy Cafe and grabbed her a hot nutrient drink, she took it but gave him a stern look.
Valentian, the bar was enough nutrition. You'll increase my weight if you keep feeding me.
He fought the urge to tumble her into his lap, kiss her and kiss her until she laughed and became his Silver again, the one who said things like that to him but who also loved him.
Because I'm a gentleman bear,
he grumbled.
I won't point out that a woman who barely sleeps is never going to get there, but if it ever happens, it'll just give me more of you to cuddle.
Silver focused pointedly on her organizer, drink in hand.
Are we crossing off another date on your list, this time with an observer?
Very funny.
His worst scowl had zero effect on his mate. It was like she was immune.
Do you think I'd waste a date by putting a time limit on it?
Snorting, he shook his head, just as she took a sip of her drink. Bear satisfied, he said.
No, I just had a very interesting conversation with Monique Ling.
Monique?
She took another sip.
Everything I know of her, and I dug deep when I first met her, says she has no political or fanatical leanings.
No. But at least one of the men she brought home might.
When he told her what he'd learned, she turned off the organizer and angled herself to better face him, her fingers still around the drink.
Have you told Grandmother?
No. I want to know if we're right first.
Silver nodded at once.
Agreed.
The possibility of Silver's poisoner being a merchant had caused a deep schism in Ina, calling all her beliefs about family, about loyalty, into question. To heal that schism and return her grandmother's absolute trust in the bonds of family, they had to give her categorical proof that no merchant had been involved.
Eric is waiting outside his apartment down this street.
Silver briefed the raw-boned human male after they picked him up. Even after a short acquaintance, she knew he could be trusted to keep the secret. According to the psychological profile run by a previous employer, if Eric had a flaw, it was that he tended to be loyal to people long after they'd failed to live up to that loyalty. At this point, after watching her work from her hospital bed to handle crises with no bias motivated by race, creed, or any other divisive factor, he'd given that loyalty to Silver.
I have to make sure you two don't torture this dude.
Eric made a face, his eyes, a pale brownish hazel, dubious, and stubble rough on the red-flushed skin of his jaw.
If he tried to poison Silver,
he said in his Dutch-accented Russian,
I'm happy to help you pound the Mudok into dust.
I like you,
Valentian said with a baring of teeth, just as his phone rang. Tapping an earpiece Silver knew he couldn't stand, but that was useful for private conversations, he said,
Pasha, what have you got?
He listened, asked several more questions before hanging up. She wasn't the least surprised when he pulled out the earpiece and threw it onto the dash. Shoving a hand through the thickness of his hair, he said,
The possible asshole is still at his apartment, surfing the news sites on his comm. His focus seems to be the recent spate of Hepma attacks.
Pavel does realize hacking is illegal.
Silver curled her fingers into her hand when those fingers wanted to reach out and straighten the strands of Valentian's hair about to fall into his eyes.
Who said anything about hacking?
Valentian's innocent look wouldn't have fooled a four-year-old.
Here's how we do the interrogation. You be scary, and I'll be scarier.
To a human with ordinary shields, Silver said coolly, I am far scarier than you.
Valentian's claws sprung out, curved and razor sharp.
What do you want to bet?
Silver took in those deadly claws.
If you sharpen them to a point, perhaps.
Both men laughed, but it was Valentian's laughter that sank into her bones.
Silver fucking merchant.
An affectionate look as he pulled into an open parking space on the street. Getting out, he went around to her door.
Ready?
Let's do this.
She held eyes that had gone amber when he laughed, still held the bear's delight.
The loser in the scariness stakes has to eat the other's choice of food for a day. Eric is the challenge witness and judge.
A grinning Eric clapped his hands once.
I accept!
Valentian shuddered.
Oh, now I have to be super scary.
He lifted her out of the vehicle, the move so absent-minded she didn't think he was being purposefully aggressive. As she and Eric walked with him into the secure apartment building, their way cleared by Pavel in some no doubt illegal fashion, she was glad she'd worn her highest heels. With Valentian wearing work boots, it put them on a somewhat even footing. He was still taller and much bigger, but they matched. Match or not, however, it felt as if Valentian took up all the room in the elevator, his big body brushing against hers. Heat and earth and warmth. That was Valentian. Silver told herself to step away, but they were already at the correct floor, and the doors were opening to reveal a neatly carpeted hallway. Jai Shivani's apartment was at the very end. Valentian had Eric push the doorbell while nudging Silver out of the way of the security camera that allowed the inhabitant of the apartment to see who was standing at his door. The touch was gentle. Very un-bear-like if you didn't understand that bears could be tender with those they loved. The bear who stayed out of sight of the camera with Silver loved her deeply.
Yes?
The clipped query came through the intercom.
Oh, hi. I'm, your neighbor from downstairs.
Eric sounded appropriately hesitant.
Could we speak?
A telling pause, followed by...
About what? My wife and I were hoping to talk you into selling your place. It's not for sale. Just listen to my offer.
The camera swiveled without warning, focusing on Valentian and Silver.
Why has your scent become pungent with fear sweat?
Valentian rumbled.
We simply wish to talk.
Get out, or I'm calling security.
This time, the tremor in Shivani's voice was unmistakable. Valentian turned to her and Eric when Jai Shivani hung up.
I asked nicely.
You did,
their human observer said.
Verified. I even got it on tape.
He held up his phone. Smile dangerous, Valentian slammed his body into the door. It crumpled like tin. 2 seconds after that, he was inside the apartment. Silver made her way more sedately through the wrecked door, quite confident of Valentian's ability to lock down their target and Pavel's to blind security. Eric entered behind her.
You're both scarier than me,
he said.
I'll just observe like I meant to.
Silver arrived in time to see a man with light brown skin and dark eyes, his rounded belly pushing at the buttons of his blue shirt and his hair caught back in a tail, put up his hands. His phone lay smashed in a corner. Valentian's clawed hand was around his throat.
Don't hurt me,
Jai Shivani whimpered, perspiration dotting his brow.
I haven't done anything.
This should be easy to clear up then, Silver said with her iciest smile. I'll do a telepathic scan. Eric didn't interrupt, the human member of her team well aware of Silver's ethical lines. Jai Shivani didn't have that advantage. All the blood drained from his face, his skin going a sickly pasty shade.
Silver Merchant.
It came out strangled. Ignoring him, Silver spoke to Valentian.
Should I rip his mind apart? Find out if he knows anything?
No, please!
Shaking, Shivani swallowed and shifted his attention desperately to Valentian.
Please, you're not like her. Don't let her rape my mind.
Valentian flexed the hand he had around the man's throat.
Talk.
Eyes aglow, voice a bearish growl.
You know about what?
Jai Shivani was no hardened criminal. He crumpled. When he next opened his mouth, it was to unleash a river of words.
I was following instructions, that's all. I was told to get into your apartment.
His eyes cutting to Silver.
On a particular day, I had to put something from a sealed packet into the weird food jars all Psi use.
Why were you confident you could get in? Silver asked. A rapid swallow.
I wasn't. Just got lucky with a power cut.
Chest heaving, he held up his hands, palms out.
That's it. That's all I know.
Silver glanced at the organizer she'd brought in with her.
He's lying. I'll take the truth from his mind. The depth of the scan will, unfortunately, leave him a vegetable.
Valentian shot her a scowling look.
But I wanted to play with him a little.
Wait, wait!
The would-be poisoner turned to the only human in the room.
You're like me. Help me!
Folding his arms, Eric leaned against the nearest wall.
I've never poisoned anyone in my life, so nope. I'm no sniveling coward.
Denied his final hope of mercy, Jai Shivani began to babble out every piece of information he had. He confirmed the power cut had been manipulated, and of his own volition, told them it was Akshay Patel who'd given him the order to Dr. Silver's food. He also had proof of the latter.
I recorded our conversation,
Shivani blubbered.
I trust Akshay like a brother normally, and we vacation together at least once every year, but he's gotten secretive over the past few months. I wanted to cover myself in case he was into something shifty.
Really?
Valentian's voice was rapidly becoming all bear.
You didn't get a clue when you were asked to break into an apartment and put an unknown substance in the food? I should kill you for terminal stupidity.
A deadly pause.
Maybe you did something even worse that night, to the woman who got you into the building.
I didn't take advantage of Monique, I swear!
Tears filled Shivani's eyes, his lower lip quivering.
I just put drugs in her drink to knock her out. Akshay gave me 2 pills to use, but I wanted to be sure they wouldn't hurt her if mixed with alcohol, so I got some over-the-counter stuff myself.
Fat tears rolled down his face.
I really like her. But they said I couldn't go back after that night. I had to pretend we were just work colleagues who'd had a fling.
His eyes shifted to Silver.
So I wouldn't be connected to the powder I put in your food.
Silver checked her organizer again without seeing anything. It was a prop to further cement her pitiless reputation.
That additive was a fast-acting poison, which means you are an accessory to attempted murder.
Shivani fainted. Valentian managed to catch the heavyset man, throwing him on the bed as if he weighed nothing.
I win. He fainted when I pressed in my claws.
I think not. He fainted after I stated the depth of his culpability.
They both looked at Eric. Throwing up his hands, the tall human backed off.
Hey, I am not getting in the middle of a lover's quarrel.
His grin was huge.
Though I am going to tell everyone I know that you have a scariness contest going on. You're an insult to judges everywhere.
Valentian's grumble just made Eric's grin deepen.
Go make your report to Lily. Starlight, you already give him the code?
No, here it is.
After doing that, Silver stepped over to stand next to Valentian, both of them looking down at Jai Shivani's passed-out form.
We are, however, now in a quandary. It's not to my advantage to have the news of my near-poisoning get out.
Robots were meant to be invulnerable.
Also, we didn't exactly question him in a legal way. Calling enforcement will be problematic.
Valentian rubbed his jaw, his skin unexpectedly smooth today.
I really want to tear off his head.
Silver stared at him, realizing the rough statement was dead serious.
Valentian.
He nearly succeeded.
His voice was as deep as a bass drum, his eyes pure bear.
I saw you collapse after that poison hit your bloodstream. I felt your body convulse.
Silver gripped his smooth jaw between her fingers, forced him to look at her and not Shivani.
But he didn't succeed. We don't punish attempted murder the same as murder, and we don't punish the pawns worse than the kingpins.
Valentian rumbled dangerously at her before finally giving a hard nod.
I'm not letting him off scot-free,
he said, his voice difficult to understand.
He hurt you.
Agreed. But do you know what I realized in this room today?
What?
That because he has no psychic shields, I have the power to cause him terror with a simple bluff.
Silver had never before understood humanity so clearly.
Imagine what that does to a person, how the fear must eat away at you, especially when some side do violate human minds. The human race has a very good reason for hating the Psi.
No argument,
Valentian said in that painfully deep voice.
But he didn't attack a Psi who'd raped his mind. He attacked you, a woman he'd never met, and who would never touch a single thought in his head.
Breath harsh, Valentian shook his head.
Human assholes don't get a free pass just because there are worse Psi assholes.
Blunt and angry he might be, but Silver knew he was also right. As humans weren't a homogeneous entity, neither were the Psi.
Each individual makes their own choices.
Damn right.
Releasing her hold on him when he pulled in his claws, she considered their options.
My family has the financial power to take much of what he values, and will also make it clear to him that any further such acts will mean being subject to changeling justice. I don't think he has the willpower or aptitude to defy us.
I'm going to keep an eye on the piece of shit, too.
Valentian's eyes were still deeply bare, but his voice was becoming less deep, more human.
In fact, I think he'll be moving into a building controlled by changelings so he can be closer to the bear business where he's about to start work.
He took out his phone.
I'll arrange for someone to take charge of him for now.
Silver stayed silent, her hands at her sides, one holding the organizer, the other free. When Jai Shivani woke mid-call, she calmly, coldly laid out his punishment. You may, of course, attempt to fight our judgment, she said. In which case, Alpha Nikolaev will take you into bear country and challenge you to fight for your life. That seemed a reasonable guess. Do you think you'd win? The human male shook his head so hard it almost spun off.
I swear I won't ever do anything else bad. I'll work hard, be law-abiding, I'll think good thoughts.
Your thoughts are your own. No one will be scanning you, Silver said, because constant fear of violation was too cruel a sentence. Human, psi, or changeling, the mind should be inviolate. Two Stonewater bears arrived minutes afterward. Both greeted Silver with smiles and said they hoped her work would let up enough that she could soon move back to Denholm. Eric caught a ride with them when they left with Shivani. Silver got into Valentian's vehicle instead. His primal anger vibrated against her skin.
Akshay Patel,
he said.
Where the fuck is that man based?
Mumbai, but he has a house in Milan and another one in New Caledonia. The conglomerate also has offices worldwide. Silver had traced that data while they'd been in Shivani's apartment. According to media reports, however, he is currently utilizing his main residence.
Chert Vosmui.
His claws erupted again.
A tiger pack controls changeling access to Mumbai. They're pissy with everyone. Damn Bengal tigers, always mad about something. I need Akshay in my territory.
Having you tear off his head will hardly be conducive to getting him to divulge his motives and or the names of any others involved. Amber eyes flashed to hers as the deep bass of his anger filled the vehicle.
He can still talk if I tear off his arms.
Realizing she was attempting to have a rational conversation with a currently very irrational bear, Silver metaphorically threw up her hands. Grandmother must be the one to have this meeting with Patel. You know it, and so do I. It was the only way to achieve balance, to heal that schism inside Ina. Valentian gritted his teeth so hard she could hear it, his biceps bulging as he squeezed the steering wheel. She expected an argument. What she got was,
Your grandmother can be scary as fuck.
So you agree? A nod. I need to talk to Lily first. When she did, the other woman said,
Screw it. I'm not asking the board. You break Patel and you find out if he's the reason why my brother is fighting for his life.
I'll make sure we pass on any data, Silver promised. Bowen?
His heart's failed.
Lily's voice caught.
They've got him on a machine.
There are mechanical hearts that function as well as organic hearts, Silver said. If you need access to any cutting-edge medical intervention, call me. I'll make it happen. The world needs your brother.
Thank you, Silver. I need to wait a little longer. Bo wouldn't want intervention if all hope is lost.
After the difficult conversation with Lily, Silver contacted her grandmother telepathically, her range blinding. She'd gone up at least 2 gradient points to 9.5 since the operation. Either her audio telepathy had been utilizing part of her psychic bandwidth, or the strength it had taken to contain the TPA had used far more energy than she'd realized. Ina's telepathic voice was crystalline, her response to Silver's revelation simple. I'll take care of it.
Silver had the strong feeling she'd exchanged one dangerous predator for another. The one in the driver's seat was still rumbling in his chest, a furious mountain about to erupt. Ina sounded like ice in her head, but that ice cut like a blade.
"Grandmother," she said, "we must know not only if he has other associates, but also if he is the head of Hapma or if it's connected to the consortium."
"I haven't suddenly turned senile, Silver."
"And I've just talked Alpha Nikolaev out of ripping off Akshay Patel's head. You are sounding very much like him."
"Valentian thinks like a predator. He fits well into our family."
Silver wondered how she'd ended up with an enraged bear on one side and an equally enraged, even if silent, Sai on the other.
"Grandmother,
I will be circumspect," Ina said at last. "But you must understand, this man will not survive the interview. He tried to kill my granddaughter."
Silver wanted to reach out across the psychic void and hold her grandmother, tell her she was all right, that Akshay hadn't succeeded. A very un-Sai thought, but Silver's mind remained safely quiet. No audio from beyond the normal spectrum.
"The final decision is yours," she said. "But remember, Akshay Patel may have set in motion events far more dangerous than my attempted murder. Bowen Knight is currently on the verge of death, and there are major emergency incidents all over the globe where countless people are dying. I am not the only grandchild involved."
"You are mine."
"I am also the director of Mnet. Any lives lost because we didn't fully debrief Akshay Patel are on my head."
"You take too much on your shoulders, Silver,"
was her grandmother's cool response.
"But rest assured, I will not make a final call until I have wrung him dry of all possible information."
"You understand the critical need to get anything we can on the attempt to assassinate Bowen Knight?"
"Of course. We wouldn't have Akshay Patel without the Alliance's assistance."
"Don't go alone," Silver ordered. "He may be human, but he's ruthless and powerful."
"I won't be going anywhere. I think the family's newest member will wish to offer his services to expedite this."
The connection severed.
"My grandmother is about to ask Caleb to abduct Akshay Patel and put him in a cage she controls."
Silver tapped a finger on her knee.
"I believe I talked her out of torturing him to death, but I'm not certain."
The large predator in the driver's seat smiled.
"I've always liked your grandmother."
Chapter 47.
To kill to protect family is an act of honor and fidelity.
Lord Darren Merchant, circa 1514. Ina had survived this long because she made it a point to know her enemies. So before she contacted Caleb to organize a teleport for Akshay Patel, she did her research. What she uncovered was illuminating. Akshay Patel was 43 and the head of his family group. That family group was a serious economic power. And according to the records she discovered in what had once been council-restricted files, not that it had ever stopped Ina, a large percentage of the Patel family had natural telepathic shields Sai couldn't breach. Not an unexpected development. Powerful human family groups were rare because ordinary humans, the ones without shields, were vulnerable to Sai manipulation, their ideas stolen before they'd ever had a chance to truly bloom. While Ina would strip a mind bare to protect her family, she didn't believe in such underhanded methods to increase one's power or wealth. Being a shadow power didn't mean being without ethics. Merkins had always understood that honor defined a family. The Patels' strong genetic tendency toward mental shields went some way to explaining their rise in power, even during the time of the Sai Council, but that wasn't the only thing that marked them as different. They'd consistently displayed strategic thinking that left their competitors in the dust, a skill that had very clearly been passed on from the time of Akshay's great-grandfather. The current head of the family was as smart as his predecessors. Akshay Patel also had a habit of supporting causes that were all about human advancement. Scholarships, funding for scientists, grants. None of that was unusual. Many human companies did the same, believing the Psi and changelings had advantages enough. What was unusual was that in the time since Akshay took over as CEO, the Patel conglomerate had steadily cut ties with Psi businesses, in stark contrast to the vast majority of human businesses. Everyone wanted to get into the lucrative Psi market. The decision was especially surprising since the Patels were in an advantageous position in that they controlled energy to which certain Psi companies needed long-term access. While Akshay Patel had maintained his family's wealth and business success by creating alternative sources of income, he'd also given up sure bets when they involved Psi. Each time a Psi contract came up for renewal, Akshay said no. That didn't speak of business tactics, but a strong ideological viewpoint. Akshay Patel was anti-Psi. Since the business news media had reported on a recent situation in which Patel had refused to do a deal with a changeling group, he was also turning anti-changeling. Most likely, he saw himself as neither. No, to Akshay, he was pro-human. Ina stood in the elegant gray of her living area, looking down into the crashing waves beneath the cliffs on which the architecturally designed house was perched. Her abode was all angular lines and glass, clean and functional, and yet it made a statement. That described Ina as well. The only things that broke up the internal lines were the dark red roses that grew wild behind the house and that she cut and put in vases. At one point in the past, she'd considered why she did that and realized the answer was both simple and complex. Part of it was Arwen. She hadn't been this Ina until his birth. She'd been harder. These days she wasn't soft, but she understood certain subtleties in life. So she understood that Akshay Patel hadn't come out of the womb this way. Neither could it be a simple case of nurturing designed to skew his viewpoint. His predecessors had all been happy to work with anyone who brought a good offer to the table. Even Akshay had followed the same path in his youth. Something had drastically changed his viewpoint. Knowing what that was would give Ina the upper hand. It took her another 3 hours to find the answer. That was when she got in touch with Caleb. As expected, he didn't blindly obey her request. His implacable will was part of why she'd once thought Caleb and Silver would make an extraordinary power couple. She should have known neither would follow the well-trodden path, both masters of their own destiny. After explaining the situation to Caleb, she said, "I'd like to speak to him in a place he can't control, but that is civil." Violence wasn't always the best tactic with someone of Akshay's power and likely arrogance. "I have a location." She sent him a telepathic image. Caleb asked several further questions before saying,
"When?"
25 minutes. That would give Ina enough time to prepare a pot of tea and make her way to the windowless cellar, bathed by a lighting system that made the room glow as if in sunlight. Set up like a conversational nook, it was welcoming but private. If necessary, it could also become a cage.
"Do you need backup?"
Caleb's cardinal eyes spoke of power most Psi could never comprehend. Ina was nearly certain he was a dual cardinal, a creature of Psi myth, but she'd never been able to confirm.
"No, I'll handle this. But I need you to find another piece of information for me."
Giving a curt nod when she stated her request, Caleb signed off. Ina made her way to the cellar, was seated in one of the 6 antique chairs in the room when Caleb teleported in her guest. He left without a single word.
"Please,"
Ina said to the man behind the attempt to poison her granddaughter.
"Take a seat."
Tawny brown eyes scanned the room before settling on her.
"Ina Merkint, I presume."
Ina inclined her head.
"Would you like a drink?"
She held up a bone china teapot that sat on the graceful white table between them.
"Tea?"
taking a seat across from her with no sign of concern, one of his feet propped on the knee of the other leg. Akshay Patel shook his head.
Nothing personal. I don't trust Sai.
Ina wasn't startled by the elegantly spoken rudeness. She'd expected that after having researched his bargaining tactics.
How can you know the motives or personal beliefs of all Sai?
Lifting a cup of the herbal tea she'd already poured for herself, she took a sip out of the delicate china. Akshay Patel tugged down the sleeves of his pinstriped navy jacket, aligning them with the pristine white cuffs of his shirt.
Maybe I'm psychic.
Ina lowered the fragile cup to a saucer as delicate.
You have no fear.
Of an old woman with delusions of power?
A mask of faux civility, the smile on his handsome face, silent mockery to accompany his insult.
Why should I?
How do you expect to get out of this room?
A gun was suddenly in his hand, the weapon sleek and metallic.
Sai, human or changeling, a bullet punches through flesh, spills blood hot and red.
As occurred with Bowen Knight.
Ina lifted her teacup again. Akshay Patel's mask slipped, revealing turbulent emotions.
He wasn't the target. Bo has done a lot for the human race, but he was being sucked into this takeover of our race described as cooperation. I just wanted to give him a wake-up call.
I fail to see how a human-on-human attack would have woken him up.
They'll find data on his phone linking the hit to a meeting with Krycek.
A tight smile.
Bo would have already been acting on it if he wasn't so badly wounded. That's my fault, and I take full responsibility for the fallout and the damage to the Alliance. I should have sent the shooter after Lily when Bo wasn't around to protect her.
You didn't do it yourself? I wouldn't have thought you'd trust anyone with such a critical task.
A shrug.
I'm no marksman, and there are people I trust with all I love, not something you'd understand.
Ina's research gave her the answer.
Your brother-in-law, a former special operative and close friend. He is, I assume, driven by the same motive as you, the psychic rape of your wife.
Akshay Patel's eyes grew hard.
Connecting into that hive net of yours, I see. How are the plans for the subjugation of the human race going?
The fact he didn't deny her supposition, added to his body language, gave her the answer she needed. That answer cleared the Merkin's debt to the Alliance and to Lily Knight in particular. Ina telepathed the data to Silver, shutting down the link before her granddaughter could ask any questions.
Is that why you're so against Trinity? You believe it'll leave humans in a worse position?
It'll leave humans in a position of no power.
Akshay's hand remained on the gun he'd placed against his thigh.
That's what the Sai have always wanted, always done.
From your recent business moves, it appears you believe the changelings will come to feel the same way.
The mask back on, he lifted a shoulder.
They're sure getting chummy with the Sai these days. Lucas Hunter pretends to be even-handed, but he's the father of a half-breed child. Sai and changeling, not changeling and human.
His expression was granite.
Now I hear the precious Merkant Scion has made it one of the two most powerful changeling alphas in Russia. What a stroke of luck for you. I guess the poor schmuck will never know you fucked with his mind.
Ignoring the latter part of his rant because she wasn't ready to talk about Silver, Ina sipped more of her tea.
Lucas Hunter has multiple packmates who identify as both changeling and human. One of his senior people is mated to a human.
It doesn't matter.
A blood vessel stood out prominently on his temple.
Now that the changelings have access to Psi corporations, I can see them cutting off human contracts.
Has that happened?
Not yet, but it will.
Lifting his weapon, he deactivated the safety using his thumbprint.
Now I think our conversation is over.
Talking of conversations, My granddaughter had an interesting one with your cousin Jai recently. Ina's cup made a quiet clinking sound against the bone china of the saucer when she put it down. Akshay's left eyelid flickered.
He's always been a disappointment to the family. I used to think he'd be at my side as I took us to greatness, but he never quite achieved what he should have.
While Ina respected Akshay Patel's desire to avenge his wife, that he'd insult a member of the family to an outsider lessened his standing in her eyes.
Yet you used him to get to Silver.
Why not? He was available and in the right area.
And disposable, Ina guessed.
That too. It was worth the gamble. And it'll be worth other gambles in the future. If I take down Silver, I crash Mnet for long enough that certain other measures can be taken, and will be far more successful than if Silver's pulling in help more efficiently than any computer program.
He aimed the gun at her head.
Sorry. Can't risk you telepathing the information.
He pressed the trigger. Or he tried to. Grimacing, he tried until the veins in his temples began to pound, the finer blood vessels in his eyes bursting to give them a crimson tint. Ina poured herself another cup of tea with tranquil precision.
It doesn't matter how hard you try, she said in the same tone she'd used the entire conversation. You won't break my hold.
Akshay Patel spoke through gritted teeth.
I have a natural shield.
Not answering, Ina drank her tea. Sometimes the wind came from perception rather than reality. Akshay Patel thought she was a telepath, which she was. However, she also had just enough of a strange little power for it to be useful. A power so erratic in its appearance in the population that it had no official sub-designation. Not quite telekinesis, but on the spectrum. She could affect a specific number of elements, including those used in the manufacture of weapons. The human CEO thought she was controlling his mind. What she was actually controlling was the weapon itself. It was repelling Akshay through a little subtle manipulation on Ina's part.
You'll give yourself an aneurysm if you keep trying to break free.
Akshay finally threw aside the weapon. But rather than giving in, he jumped up from his seat, his hands reaching out as if to strangle her. In his eyes, she saw the moment he realized he could move freely. Ina shot him with the stunner she'd kept in her lap. His body spasmed as he fell to the floor, his limbs twitching with residual energy. Looking down at him from the table, she held the bloody tawny brown of his gaze.
You're about to die. You know that, and so do I. Will you protect your co-conspirators?
That he couldn't have gotten to Silver on his own wasn't in doubt. To cut off electricity to an apartment building that secure, with that many redundant systems, would have required help from various highly placed sources. The Patels might control a large number of energy systems, but they had no footprint in Moscow. Caleb held the controlling interest in the largest energy company, and the smaller ones serviced areas that didn't overlap with Silver's apartment. Akshay Patel simply could not have arranged for the power to be disrupted in a company under Caleb's banner unless he had someone on the inside. Even then, he'd need a second person inside the building itself who could override the redundancies. Yvonne would take care of unearthing that individual, but as for the employee at the energy company, Ina had requested Caleb check the records to see if any of his hires had connections to the Patels. He'd telepathed her the results 10 minutes ago, having found 3 employees who'd previously worked in businesses held by the Patel conglomerate, not an unusual circumstance in the same industry. Crucially, however, none of the 3 had been on duty the night the power went out in Silver's apartment. Caleb had seen that, dug further, and discovered that the workers on duty at the time of the blackout were all long-term, experienced, and skilled. One of those employees had a wife who'd received a 6-figure payment into her account immediately prior to the incident. That employee was Sai. Yet Akshay Patel made it a point not to have Sai contacts.
Do you think your co-conspirators would be as loyal to you? She asked conversationally when Akshay didn't speak, his eyes boring into her. Hate foamed in their depths. A spasm crossed his face. The pain will continue to increase, Ina told him. The muscle spasms will eventually cause you to lose control of your bladder, then your bowels. You'll begin to drool. A second blast on the same setting will ensure you lie in your own waste for hours before your brain finally shuts down. She took a sip of tea. Or you can answer my questions, and this ends with me putting a shot directly into your brain. You'll die before you know it. And it ends with me and you. I won't go after your son or daughter. Fear crawled across his face.
You wouldn't,
he managed to grit out between spasms.
They're children.
Silver is the child of my child. Ina let him see her implacable will. Like for like. Except I'll be successful in my extermination efforts.
You're a monster.
Perhaps. But I'm a monster who's giving you a choice. Will you sacrifice your children to protect your co-conspirators? Ina knew the choice she would have made, though no one outside the family could ever know that. The Merkants were safe and successful, partially because others believed that while they worked together as it was more effective, they were snakes who'd swallow one another should it come down to it. You have 10 seconds before the offer is off the table. Water shone in the human man's eyes, his will broken.
Don't let my family find out I died this way,
he said, his vocal muscles having relaxed enough for him to form the sentence. Give me what I want, and your body will be discovered in a vehicle, broken beyond repair as a result of a single vehicle crash. A shudder that didn't seem controlled, rather the product of the voltage still arcing through his body.
No faces. No names. Consortium.
Ina was unsurprised at the words, but she wasn't certain she believed them. I thought you were against interracial cooperation.
Don't have to like them to use them,
Patel said, his breathing starting to turn jerky.
Consortium is short term. Sai in charge pretends to be even-handed, but she'll betray us all to hold on to power.
Ina's senses went on high alert. She, the head of the consortium, is a woman?
No faces. Voices distorted. That's how it works.
His chest spasmed, his hands drumming against the floor before he brought himself under control.
But her software glitched for a couple of seconds once. I record everything. Went back and listened. Woman.
It was far more information than anyone else had about the individual behind the consortium. How did she contact you?
Hard copy letter, inviting me to join because I'd been public in my distrust of Trinity.
Did you keep the letter?
I keep everything.
His eyes held hers, his will impressive given the hit he'd taken.
Bottom left drawer of my satellite Amsterdam office.
Ina put down her cup again. Do you expect me to take this on faith? Your son's name is Vahan, isn't it? A shuddering panic.
Please, don't hurt my children. I've told you all I know.
How do you communicate?
Internet. Throwaway email addresses. A defunct chat room about entertainment stars.
He gasped a breath.
If we need a comm conference, we leave a message there with the current channel settings. Different every time.
He gave her the web address without prompting. She didn't look it up, in case there were safeguards in place tracking where a member was logging in from.
I requested a power failure in a certain wide area. Someone with the right connections organized it.
His breathing was a touch better now.
I handled Silver's building myself.
How did you find a traitor in the security team?
A sudden smile with a touch of arrogance.
Not security. Maintenance. Lower pay, but had the right access and skills after I got him a coach. Psy junkie who's good at pretending to be normal. People never do penetrating security checks on maintenance staff.
Ina telepathed the information to Yvonne.
You're a clever man, Mr. Patel.
She meant that sincerely.
Tell me about Hapma.
They asked for money. I gave them some.
He flexed his hands as control returned to that part of his body.
I thought they might be useful, but they've exceeded my expectations.
You expect me to believe you're not the founder?
Fear turned his face bloodless.
Please! They're only children!
He stopped trying to regain control of his body.
Hapma's grassroots. Only contact I had was with a man named David Fournier. Survival trained.
He swallowed.
I was open in being anti-Trinity. Caught his attention like I caught the consortium's. Only difference is that the consortium bitch is stone-cold sane. Well, I'm not so sure about David.
Yet you gave him money.
Fanatics aren't always the sanest people in the room.
Unfortunately, that's all too true.
She picked up the stunner and shot him again. Chapter 48.
I had a 5-year plan once. It was a good one, too. Then life happened.
Unknown street philosopher.
Silver.
Silver sat up straight at her grandmother's telepathic voice.
Grandmother.
Across from her, Valentian tapped the side of his head. He'd asked her if she had time for a date that afternoon, and since Mnet was currently in standby mode while Ina was dealing with Akshay Patel, she'd said yes. He'd told her to change into Stonewater clothes. She'd chosen jeans and a fine V-necked sweater in palest green with narrow horizontal stripes of silver that Nova had given her and told her to keep. When Valentian arrived, it had been with a truck full of cubs excited to go to an amusement center where they got to play in a pit of foam balls. Now she nodded to confirm she was having a telepathic conversation. He grabbed hold of the two cubs who'd been seated beside him and said,
"Who wants to be thrown into the pit?"
"Me! Me!"
The cubs next to Silver scrambled out too, running after Valentian as he carried his gleeful cargo toward the large pool made up of colorful balls that were soft enough to do no damage to children, but deep enough that the kids could get lost in them if they ducked down. Which was why Valentian had booked this pool privately, so he knew exactly how many kids were in there at any one time. Anyone caught ducking down to hide would be summarily banished to the benches to watch mournfully while everyone else played. Valentian's threatened punishment was apparently an effective one. As she watched, the kids thrown in popped immediately back up, laughing and asking to be thrown in again.
"Grandmother,"
she said again when Ina stayed silent after that initial contact.
"My apologies, Silver. I'm having to deal with a secondary telepathic matter. I'll get back in touch once that's completed."
The contact cut off. Not surprised by the interruption, Ina was the matriarch of their family and as such was the first port of call for all of them, Silver was nonetheless impatient. It had been hours since Caleb confirmed he'd delivered Akshay Patel to Ina. Since rushing her grandmother was an impossibility, Silver slid out of the bench seat and headed toward the pool. Watching Valentian's arms move in his old white tee, his biceps bulging and his face full of laughter as he picked up the cub who'd just scrambled out of the foam pit, she felt a strangeness in her stomach she remembered from when she hadn't been silent. Silver stopped, listened. Nothing beyond the children's voices and the sound of their play.
"Throw me, Mishka, throw me!"
The words were delighted, the childhood nickname used in innocence. Many a man would have chastised the cub that he was speaking to an adult, that he was speaking to his alpha and should be more respectful. But Valentian pretended to growlingly bite Arkasha before doing as demanded. He had no need to worry about respect. She'd seen how he was treated by the teenagers and older children. They loved him as deeply as these cubs, but they never called him Mishka. It was understood that was a privilege reserved for the very young, the very old, and his sisters.
Siva!
The smallest cub, Dima, saw her on his way out of the pit, ran toward her after he exited.
Will you throw me?
Reaching down, Silver gathered his warm, solid body into her arms.
I don't want to do harm,
she said to Valentian.
He'll be fine.
He grabbed Fitz, who was jumping up and down next to him.
Throw just hard enough to get him into the balls, and watch for the other five in there. They know not to move when someone's about to be thrown in.
Having already noted the positions of those five, Silver watched Valentian throw his cub, noted Fitz's landing position, then looked down at the little boy she held in her arms.
Ready?
A quick nod, eyes bright. She threw. Screaming in joy, Dima sank into the foam, bounced up an instant later, chortling so hard he fell back down, and his friend, a cub who'd returned with the dissenters, had to pull him up.
Is there a trampoline below?
Silver asked, realizing the children were bouncing around like rabbits rather than heavy-boned bears.
Not quite, but close enough.
Valentian came to stand beside her as the children began to throw the foam balls at one another.
Part of the safety system. Not a single accident here in the 25 years it's been running.
The furnace of his large body tempted her to edge nearer, sink into his warmth.
You did your research.
I'm Alpha,
was the simple answer. And these cubs were his responsibility. She went to answer when a ball hit her on the nose. Startled, she looked toward the pool, saw several innocent faces. Arkasha began to giggle a second later, the sound quickly spreading to all seven cubs.
Come play,
sensitive little Sveta said.
Siva, Mishka, come play.
Silver never saw it coming. One minute she was standing on her own 2 feet, disturbed by her compulsion toward the large bear alpha with whom she'd once shared skin privileges. The next minute, she'd been scooped up in his arms and was being launched into the air. He'd thrown her so gently that she barely felt the impact before she was bounced up. Much taller than the children, she ended up with her head above the balls, even sitting down. Her hair tumbled out of its twist. Around her, the children began to swim over. Valentian, meanwhile, was standing outside the pool, laughing. She blew the hair out of her eyes, closed her hand around a ball. When the children reached her, she whispered,
"Let's get Mishka."
That was all the encouragement they needed. They pelted Valentian with the foam balls. Throwing out his arms and making the face of an enraged bear, he jumped into the pool and began to chase the cubs. They screamed and ran from him. Silver, meanwhile, continued to pelt him with balls. Valentian suddenly changed direction and dived toward her. She twisted out of the way, but he was too fast, and she found herself pinned under him, his body keeping the foam off her face and his arms caging her on either side.
Gotcha,
he said, the bear in his eyes, a playful presence. Silver couldn't speak, her stomach suddenly so tight it was difficult to breathe. The laughter faded from Valentian's face, a slow slide into something deeper, more tender.
Lubov moya, solnishka moya.
A harsh whisper colored in unconcealed, primal emotion. Before he was assailed by balls from every side, the cubs coming to her rescue. Backing off with a lionish roar that delighted the children, he began to chase them again. Silver, her heart a drum, simply sat in place. Her ears caught the sound of the children's laughter, Valentian's growls of mock pursuit, the odd noise from other areas of the play center, but nothing unusual. Her audio telepathy was under control. The rest of her, however.
Siva?
A small body scrambled into her lap.
I'm tired.
Giving a big sigh, Arkasha collapsed against her. She wrapped her arms around his body and said,
I think you need a drink of water.
Getting up with a tiny gangster trustingly holding onto her hand, she walked to the edge of the pool and they got out. Arkasha drank deep of the glass of water she poured at their table, his eyes on the play in progress. He was back in the pool seconds later. Silver should have gone too. She'd promised to participate. But it was too dangerous to her sense of stability, her mind in confusion, caught between who she believed herself to be and who she was becoming. Though it was impossible not to watch Valentian, not to hear his deep voice as he played with the cubs, she stayed by the table, using the excuse of being ready to give the children any sustenance they needed. That afternoon passed by in a heartbeat, and it stretched forever.
Lubov Moya, Solnishka Moya.
My love, son of my heart. Valentian didn't touch her again, but when he dropped her off at the complex, the children having been picked up by Yakov and Anastasia, he said,
Remember who we were, Starlight. Choose us.
His voice was unusually solemn, his gaze amber. Silver couldn't reply, her blood a roar in her ears. She certainly wasn't in the right frame of mind to receive a telepathic contact from Ina.
I'm just leaving Alpha Nikolaev's vehicle, she said when her grandmother asked if she was free to talk.
Valentia needs to hear this, too. Ask him if he is available to meet at your current home. Caleb will bring me in.
Silver's fingers curled into her palm, her body half out of Valentian's vehicle.
Grandmother is asking if you're free for a meeting.
His expression changed, became deadly.
Akshay Patel.
Not waiting for an answer, he said,
I'm free. Where?
My apartment.
This time she didn't wait for him to reach her, jumping out of the vehicle and beginning to walk to her apartment before he'd opened his own door. It didn't take him long to catch up to her, of course. He was a big and warm presence at her side, his energy so vibrant she could almost touch it.
Vala!
The call came from across the grass and two floors up, the woman hanging out the window, a beautiful blonde Silver had seen around the complex but never met. The blonde blew Valentian a kiss.
Careful, Irina,
Valentian called back.
My mate is the jealous type.
Clearly unabashed, the woman blew Silver a kiss too.
Any woman worth my alpha would be.
She's clan, Silver asked after the woman drew back inside the apartment.
Half human, all bear.
He winked.
Faryad has the biggest crush on her I've ever seen a man have on a woman.
Oh? Does he knock on her door at the crack of dawn?
A scowl.
I didn't have a crush. I was courting you. There's a difference.
Right, Silver said, her shoulder brushing his arm as they walked. Valentian pretended to bite her.
Grrr.
I quiver in terror.
I'll have you know I do make people quiver in terror.
Valentian pointed out, with a sulky look on his face that made her want to... Silver shook her head, attempted to calm her skittering pulse. Searching for a distraction, she pointed out the sun-lounging area below.
Look.
Several bears, in that form, lay lazing about on the lush green grass. The wolves lay on the other side of an invisible line of demarcation. Every so often, they'd give one another a dirty look, then get back to sun-worshipping. The first snowfall was forecast to hit any day. It wouldn't stop either bears or wolves from being outside, but they were making the most of the grass while it still existed. Several bear heads went up at that instant, their noses turning unerringly toward Valentian. They began to rise. She knew they wanted to come to him, touch him, have that tactile Alpha to clan member contact all bears needed. But Valentian waved them down.
I'll be back after I take care of my mate.
His deliberately provocative response made several bears laugh before they settled back down. The wolves, too, were looking very interested. Apparently being mortal enemies didn't mean you weren't intrigued by gossip about the other party. When she didn't say anything in response to his words, Valentian gave her a distinctly wary glance.
What are you planning?
You'll find out when you fall victim to it. Valentian's smile was more real than she'd seen it since her operation, his bear right there in his eyes, so close to the surface that she could almost touch its fur.
You're a scary woman, Starlichka.
Lifting a hand, he brushed tendrils of hair off her face. Silver broke contact with a jerk that had those bearish eyes narrowing, a predator on the hunt. He closed the inches between them until her sneakers brushed up against his boots.
Scared?
A challenge. His body was a furnace, but Silver didn't back off. This wasn't the first time she'd tangled with this particular bear. I don't get scared. I'm silent.
You sure you haven't been willing those filaments in your brain to build bridges?
Silver thought of the card she still hadn't thrown out, of how she hadn't washed the sheets on which he'd slept, of how she kept permitting him physical contact, and how she hadn't ordered any food since she moved into this apartment. Why would I exchange perfect efficiency for the messy chaos of emotions?
Wild monkey skin privileges.
Silver stumbled into him at the rough words spoken against her ear. Valentian caught her.
Was it something I said?
This time his eyes were laughing, his body a muscled wall that invited her to snuggle in. And her stomach. It did that strange thing again. Must be the uneven floor, she responded, because to let him win this verbal battle would set a bad precedent. Bear that he was, he'd think he could win all their arguments by bringing up physical intimacy. She broke contact, started to walk toward her apartment again. Speaking of wild monkey skin privileges.
Naked wild monkey skin privileges.
As I was saying, speaking of naked wild monkey skin privileges, she repeated without a hitch. Are there changeling primates?
Nope. Nothing from that part of the animal tree.
He glared at her.
You're trying to distract me from seducing you.
According to Wild Woman magazine, to which she now had a subscription, strictly to further her understanding of changelings, bear males have delicate egos. I don't want yours crushed when I kick you out. The deep rumble of his displeasure at her back, a big, dangerous presence that made her feel deeply safe. She cleared them into her apartment. The door slid back to reveal a room full of natural light. Greenery cascaded beyond the windows, while she knew from her orientation that the roof was a living carpet.
I see you went wild with the decor, Starlight.
The affectionate words had her looking at the apartment through his eyes. Light and spacious, it was fitted out with modern furniture in oat-colored fabric. That, however, was how it had come. Silver had added nothing to it, simply putting her clothes in the bedroom closet, which was why she looked askance at the giant pink teddy bear sitting on her couch.
How did you manage that? She demanded. It wasn't there when we left.
Don't look at me.
His expression was affronted.
I would have gotten you a brown teddy bear.